Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. We are gathered on this first Thursday in August, August 23rd, for the AEN Candidacy Preparation Training. You have 2 weeks until that conference will start for your elevation. Though you have labored very diligently, and we do thank you for it. We praise God for it. We pray that it has blessed you and has built you. It has edified you. It's excited you for that which God has for you. As you prepare for your ordination and your consecration, the different requirements that were placed upon you, most of you have met them, and we pray that as you fulfill your requirements, you receive from God the reward and blessings of obedience. We appreciate your accountability partners for walking with you, for laboring with you, for caring for you, for praying for you, for assisting you, for giving technical assistance and biblical assistance and emotional assistance. We thank them for surrendering their time and their energies and resources and their heart and their love into your process, investing in this new wave of leaders that God has ordained before the foundation of the world to be a part of the leaders of the church for the 21st century. We thank you that you have surrendered to the process. We pray that in your surrendering that God has brought into your forefront, in the forefront of your mind, just the urgency and the nearness of the end for a lot of people who are waiting on leaders to lead them out of the wilderness. They have wandered long enough, and they need a champion that God is sending to them that will light the way out of their wilderness into the promised hope of that which we have in Jesus Christ, bringing clarity, bringing leadership, bringing support, bringing hope through prophecy, bringing the word of the heralding of the angels, telling the story, whether it's an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a minister, and an elder, and those that are receiving the call in the area of liturgical worship, worship leaders, youth leaders. We're excited for you. We thank God for you. And we want to start this evening in prayer. And so we ask that one of the men of God that's on the line will lead us in our opening prayer. I am currently opening the lines. You just have to put your phones, take it off mute, and you will be able to communicate to the body at large as we have gathered here. And so we ask that one of the male leaders on the line will lead us in prayer. Our opening
Our
prayer.
Father, we come before you, Lord, once again to say thank you. We thank you for this day that you have made, God, and whatsoever have taken place in this day. We thank you that you have made it, and God, you have allowed us to come through it all, O God. We thank you for our daily bread that you have provided, God, in all manner, shapes, fashion, and form. And God, we thank you tonight for each and every candidate, including myself, God, for each and every administrator, God, for each and every apostle, prophet, God, whatsoever the calling may be on our lives tonight, God, that we come together and receive more from you. Continue to enlighten us, O God, and continue to let the zeal, zest, and the fire that you have given us burn, O God, towards doing your great will. In your Son's name we pray, amen, amen. Thank God.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We appreciate your faithfulness and your spirit of coming forth and stepping forth and leading the way. God needs his men to lead his church. That is God's order, and we acknowledge it, and we rejoice in it. And so we want to start this evening with some housekeeping to take care of first, and then we will go to our different presentations. We pray that Dr. Elder Arlette is on the line, getting ready to prepare to lead us in our worship of moment prayers. And I pray that Lady Brenda Winslow is on the line as well. Okay, so we do want to remind everybody of some changes that is taking place from your paperwork that you received originally. Please, please, please make note of it. As we had our meet and greet, those individuals are aware of the change as they did receive the schedule of what the conference is going to look like in the track for the ordinee. And as a correction, in your 2017 ordination information schedule, your AEN ordination information schedule, listed under ordination and consecration evaluation, the paperwork shows August 19th, which is Saturday at 10 o'clock, that is an error. It will not be on Saturday. It will be on Friday, August, again, Friday, August 18th, and it will start at 3 o'clock. Friday, August 18th, at 3 o'clock, will start your examination before the Consecration Council. So we wanted to make sure everybody makes that adjustment, and the actual schedule we can go over very briefly. Those who were at the meet and greet actually received the physical copy. And another correction or addition that we would like to bring clarity to that same form that you received that indicated all of the things that you would be required to do, and under your required reading was listed four books. Four books were listed that you were required to do a five-page type summary per book. And this was due, is due, November 1st. And it indicates that the review should include your ministry application of the information in that book. And please note your final papers will not be released until you have completed all of your requirements. There are four books listed. You only have to choose two of the four books. If you are a pastor, you must do your report on A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller. If you are a pastor, you must choose that particular writing to do as one of your books. You only have to choose two of the four books that are listed. Again, two of the four books. Shepherds Look at the 23rd Psalm, A Gardener's
The Bluetooth device is ready to pair.
I'm sorry? Yes? Okay. Of The Call of God by Jefferson Edwards, and Making Process of a Leader by John Tessola. So of those four books, you must choose two. Amen. So we do want to remind you that per the schedule that was released on Friday, that your garments are due to be turned in at the conference from 8 to 9 on Thursday morning or 8 to 9 on Friday morning. those are mandatory times that we will be receiving all pieces of your garments for elevation so that they may be properly documented and consecrated before the service. So if those times are not, you're not able to make those particular times, and that's 8 to 9 Thursday, August 17th, 8 to 9 Friday, August 17th, at the conference, at registration, and you have to register when you first get on site, and it would be the best thing to be able to turn your garments in, check in your garments at that time. Are there any questions, concerns, or considerations? If those times are going to be difficult for you, I need you to text me your circumstances ahead of time. Text me your circumstances ahead of time, or the items cannot be placed on you during the consecration service. If you have a desire for someone to help or to be a part of your consecration, the dressing and the putting on of your garment, you need to text that information to me as well, giving me full names and details of who they are and information as to contacting them so that they can be aware of when they must be on site and that they must be dressed appropriately, and we need to know in advance that they are there. Otherwise, the team for each one of the candidates is pre-selected, and they're consecrated as well on your behalf for your office. And so we want to be sure that that is in place beforehand. So we don't want to, you know, be in the middle of the service and try to shift in gears. Any questions? Any concerns? Just anything you need to be made clear to you that you're kind of fuzzy about, now is the time. These last couple of weeks really are given over to you and what your needs are, what your needs are. So we do need you to participate. Your lines have been put on speaker, so you can't communicate. You just need to take your phone off of mute. And when you're not communicating, please leave your phone on mute so that we don't have the background noise, and that makes it difficult in trying to hear. And if you would like to speak and come online, we ask that when you speak, tell us your name. Let us know who you are. In other words, this is Overseer Paulette. I have a question. And that way we can properly document, and we have a trail so we can make sure your inquiries are properly noted and cared for. If you have a problem securing your garment and you need to contact the ministry as soon as possible, as soon as possible. Please do not let a lack of funds dampen this time for you or make you feel to back out of it, you know, because you may not think that you have everything you need in order, but God is gracious. We just ask that you let us know ahead of time. And then we would like to just put it out there to all of the members of the committee, the members of the accountability area, that if you have items that you have been elevated beyond, or you have no longer physically a use for them, please, we do encourage you to turn them in to the ministry so that we can have a library, if you will, or a closet of garments and things that can be share it with those that are in need, so that when we march in, we can march in unity based on the protocol for the office and the day and the event. So that's just a sidebar. If you would like to donate funds for that area of ordination, maybe not just for this year, but for the year to come, as you know, as you have experienced some of the financial responsibilities that come with it, and if the Lord lays it on your heart to be a blessing to someone else, we have been encouraged by others to start a fund for that. And so the ministry, the AEN, the LSC AEN, will start a fund that will receive your donations and your contributions for any future garment requirements. So those are some of the things that we did want to share with you. We do want to look quickly at the schedule. When you come on site, there is an entryway that is best for your guests to come, and it is to the right of the main entrance to the hotel. And to the right, to the side a little, you'll see double doors. And if your guests park there in the parking lot, they can go right in those double doors, and the services are right there. They won't have to do more than three steps from the door. So it's very, very convenient if you share with your guests. And the parking is free, and it is just ample parking. It's a huge lot, and there is ample parking. And if you go to that side door to the right of the main entrance, you will enter right into the vestibule of the ballroom. So it will be very, very convenient. However, if you're coming and you're coming for registration in the hotel, you want to go to the main entrance, and you would park basically in the front and to the left, actually, for the hotel rooms when you're checking in to your rooms. Please be advised of the check-in time at 3 o'clock, and so during any of the days, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, there are classes starting at 9 o'clock. Registration starts at 8 o'clock. And so if you're coming on site and you haven't registered for your room, then you may have to get involved in your classes first. I encourage you not to miss your session trying to register and that sort of thing, because you'll have breaks that you will be able to register. Those that are coming from out of town, I understand, and we do want to make it as convenient as possible for you. The schedule starts at, as I said, 8 to 9 on Thursday, August 17th, you register. When you come on site, you may say, well, I'm registered already. Well, you register your physical, that you're physically at the conference. And when you do that, there's information you'll receive. It's at that point you get your banquet tickets that you absolutely must present in order to come into the banquet. And those tickets are complimentary for those that have the $50 registration fee. The tickets for any additional banquet settings that you have paid for will also be available at that time. Minister Sherita on the line, you can kind of give them how you want that to flow.
Well, pretty much when you come to registration, you're just going to, sign in, you're going to get your informational packet for the conference, your name badge, and then you're going to get your banquet ticket. And if you had guests that are going to attend the banquet only. We're going to give you their tickets as well, and then you'll be responsible for distributing those tickets to them. And just like Overseer said, you will have to have that ticket present when you before you enter the banquet, or you will not be able to enter. And that's pretty much that's all that I can think of right now.
And do they need to put their names on the banquet tickets or no?
No. Because
they have
the banquet tickets will probably have numbers on them. And so we'll have a record of those. Of. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go.
Yes, the banquet tickets will probably have they'll be numbered. So that's how we'll keep track of them.
And as it relates to the garments?
Yes, as it relates to the garments, when you come to registration, just make sure that you have your name on all of the garments. There'll be a garment check-in list, and we'll actually check off everything that you have present. You're going to initial what you've checked off, and then the one check-in in the garments will initial as well. And I think that's it, wearing the garments.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Until then, we want to remind you from 9 to 10 will be an opening session that is facilitated by the Apostle Dr. Seanette and the Parade of Ministry. And during that time, you will become acquainted with the AEN and its 2018 agenda. And then your classes will start in a separate location at 10 a.m. And the rooms will be clearly marked, and there will be greeters about that will help point you to your area. And then once you start, we are in that area for the duration of the conference. All of our meetings will take place in that one space. And that space will have things of comfort for you, because we will be in there all day. We will break for lunch at 12 and come back at 1:30, and then at 4:30 it is your class is over, and you get an evening break from 5 to 7. And worship preparation starts at 7. Worship service starts at 7:30. And then we basically repeat that same schedule on Friday. We are encouraging you to make your classes. Your class settings are each one of the topics is presented to you. They're about an hour long. And so they are topics that were gleaned from your vision and mission statements, from your gifts and callings, the office that you're in, your people group. So everything that's being presented is customized to this particular class. We will do role playing. There's the little black book that every minister should be familiar with, and I know that a lot of you are, and so a lot of you will be called upon to be a part of the presentation for some things. So we ask that you be prepared, because you are leaders, especially the Group 2 leaders. You should be prepared to present, just as you've been doing all along during our phone conferences. After the little back book and role-playing on Friday, there is a break for lunch again from 12 to 1:30. There are restaurants in the area of the hotel, but they're not necessarily in walking distance. So you would have to drive to them. They are the usual type of from high-end to McDonald's. And everything in between you can find in that area. There's also a coffee shop in the hotel there's a restaurant in the hotel, so you can get, you know, lunch items from there. Plus, you do get your complimentary breakfast for two each day, and it is science will direct you to where you go for the buffet breakfast. It is not just donuts and coffee. It's the full for the guests that have a room. This is a part of your room fee. Is breakfast for two breakfasts each day that you are registered at the hotel. And then on Friday from 1:30, basically for about an hour or so, we're going to have interviews, question and answer, a panel discussion that definitely is going to include some of the candidates as well. So that should be very engaging, very pertinent topics. Some of them are very controversial topics that we would just like to bring into the forefront so that these things that when they come upon you in ministry, you will not be unfamiliar with them. That then is that what's next will be presented, and from 3:30 to 5 on Friday will be your examination from 3:30 to 5. And I said before 3, but 3:30 to 5. But you will be in class. And there is a preparation between 3 and 3:30 that has to happen. So I advise you to be absolutely prepared by 3 o'clock. The examination will take place in the room that we're in. In that room, there will only be the ordination council. It's made up of members of the AEN. They're not necessarily your accountability partner, but they definitely are those that are on the ordination committee, along with the apostle. And then those that she has prepared to come forth with you. And then you have your evening break on Friday. The worship services are different. One is worship without words, and the other is vertical worship. And though it says worship without words, you can worship God verbally, but it is not, no one is there to guide you verbally. So the music is instrumental, but your interaction with God can definitely be vocal if that's how worship is brought forth from you. The vertical worship will be presented to us in some of the planetary and some of the discussion that will go on beforehand. And then on Saturday, we will meet for a prayer, a moment prayer, prophetic prayer and declaration for your ministries. It should be a very, very powerful time that you will participate in declaring and decreeing your moment prayers for those that you are being prepared and elevated in ministry to minister to. At that time, we're asking for accountability partners and others, if you have a talit that you do not have to get consecrated, then please bring your prayer talit, and we will be talking about that too. And then it's the licensing and then the actual preparation for the procession and then the consecration itself. And after that, the banquet. On Saturday morning, we will have baptism. We will have dedication of some young ones and giving them a covering and dedicating them back to the service of the Lord. And then our ecumenical worship service experience. And so that is basically a look at our AEN conference schedule. So at this time, we will go directly into our moment prayer, our consecration of Elder Dr. Arlette.
Yes, good evening, good evening. And I, in preparing for this evening, I just wanted to charge us to be prepared for the releasing of our minute prayers. And in doing so, my belief is that if we take the time to read our mission, go over to the point where our mission is second nature to us, because as we walk daily, we should breathe. Our mission should just literally come out of our pores, who we are. Our mission should become who we are. And in the midst of that, I believe that as our mission is on our mind and in our heart, then if we literally just, after we've done our consecration, from now until ordination conference, if we would speak our minute prayers with an expectation and literally speak them out, so literally daily, take 5-6 minutes max. Do our reading, add to our minute prayer devotional, and begin to read our mission statement, and then begin to read some of our minute prayers that we have accumulated. And at this point, we should begin to see our vision manifest. And one of the things that, being a part of LSD, we should know at this part, at this point, is the difference between our mission and our vision, and how our mission and our vision collide, how it manifests. Our vision will happen. And one of the things that I believe that will happen on Saturday morning at the conference is, in the midst of everyone, as we are there, we will become that which is God in the earth for that region. And those of us who are not, who don't live in that region, will bring into that region. Because we recognize we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. So we have to understand whether we are regional. We have to understand our jurisdiction in the midst of our mission and cause it to manifest, so that we leave out of there equipped, but the enemy be informed that we are equipped. And so I do believe that as we begin to speak our mission on a regular basis and back our mission up with the word and the prayers that have manifested from Scripture, because what happened when Christ came out of, when he came out of fasting, he was tempted. And what did he do? He gave it word. And that's what we should find ourselves doing in terms of our mission. We should be giving our mission foundation. We should be equipping it to come against darkness, against that which the crooked path that we'll find many of those who have an ear to hear us are in the midst of. We should find that our minute prayers come against those crooked paths and they make them straight. We should find that our minute prayers make those chattering voices cease where they have no power. They literally cannot utter. And if they are uttered, because it says weapons form, but they won't be heard by those who have an ear to hear us, because we will have equipped our tongue to speak that instantaneously, that those who hear us are instantly fortified for the walk. And so, and that's what I believe that these next 2 weeks should be about, us preparing for the great decree, preparing for the great utterance. Not that it will be a mass competition, absolutely not, because our Father hears all. So it's not a matter of who can get their mission to the throne the quickest, absolutely not. But it is a matter of preparing our warring angels with the word to take to those who have an ear to hear. So that in that conference center, the enemy is defeated against that which our mission stands for. It will not have, it won't have a leg to stand on. And that is my desire. It is my charge to each one of us to prepare ourselves, to continuously be diligent in building our journal, so that during that time of worship and adoration, our mission will be memorized, and we will be able to send it up with its foundation, which should be our minute prayer. And in the end, we see our vision accomplished, the what and the how done, sealed. In the name of Jesus. And that's what I have for this week. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord. Back to you,
amen.
Over here.
Amen. Praise God. And it makes a difference when we get instructions. Okay. As we
are
obedient to the one thing, then we get instructions for the power move of the next thing that will manifest itself because of our obedience. So we will open
amen.
The line now to those with their minute prayers. So we want to start tonight with Minister Katie.
Brother Parker is available. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Brother Parker. Go right ahead. Minister Katie, get prepared. Go ahead, Brother Parker.
Good evening. I began to look at the lost sheep. You know, having been in that predicament, having been a lost sheep, having experienced of being alone, not really knowing, but and I began to look at it, and my desire is, Lord, I don't want nobody else to experience that. And so that means that I desire to have, in a short prayer, give me a pastor's heart. And not just the pastor behind the walls, but I desire a global ministry. It's a big world, and I desire to go to the world. And so that's why my prayer is, God, give me a pastor's heart.
Amen. Amen. Minister Kika, are you able to share? No, she's at work.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. All right.
There are two scriptures that stood out for me this week. The first one was the parable of the minas. I hope I'm saying that right. So that one, my minute prayer was basically that we have the same priorities and values of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the second one was the one of the building the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that stood out to me was like the question that Jesus asked at the end, like, will he come back and find faith? And so whenever God asks us a question that he already knows the answer to, I get a little nervous when I see that in scripture. So So I'm hoping, like Isaiah, we will be humble and we will be able to say, Lord, choose me. So that was the prayer for that one.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. How about Sister Murray? Diana? I'm not sure if you can pop it up.
Okay.
Amen. Well, while Diana is getting on the line, okay, are you ready? We'll have Pastor Monet try to intercede there for us. Okay, Minister Katie?
I can go. Oh.
I'm here.
Katie, are you on the Okay, amen.
It took me a minute to get my mute button off. I didn't actually finish all of them this week. I got only up to the unprofitable servant.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And I still didn't complete a thought. I still didn't complete
okay.
a thought there.
Okay.
So I'm unprepared tonight.
Okay. All right. Sister Margaret.
Yes.
Maybe we have six. Amen. Take your phone off mute. Sister Margaret. Did you call my hand?
Overseer, this is Pastor Murphy. I am available if you'd like.
Oh, amen. Go right ahead.
Mine is on the unprofitable servant. Holy Father, thank you for keeping your promises to us by providing to us what you have promised. Through your faithfulness, we have learned to accept the continued assignment as your servant and not to expect to receive more in pay or time than you have promised. We are more than satisfied with your promises to us, for we do not serve for profit, but serve for your assignment, or your kingdom assignment. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else on the line would like to share?
I
have one
from
Matthew 7 and 24.
Okay.
This is Elder Winfield.
Minister Pat after Sheba.
Oh, my God. I can't
Elder,
see Elder?
Okay,
Minister Pat.
Okay, I did it on Matthew 7:24-27, the rock and the sand. And mine were about when the wind, hold on, that the wisdom behind how it wasn't just on how they built the house, but it was the wise man, how he built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the flood came and the wind blew, but it did not collapse. And so mine was, no matter what storm may come in your life, God will give you the wisdom to withstand if you just trust in him and listen to him and obey him. So that's another part, but I can't find it on my computer.
Oh,
but yeah.
Is there another?
Yeah, this is Elder Winslow. I don't know if you can hear me. I have one on also on Matthew 7:24.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
It's the prayer. Let my words be wise, that others may build true foundations, and that that foundation stand against the winds of challenge, which is Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Is there another? Yes.
There is. Hello?
It's you. Yes, we're listening.
Hello? Oh, okay.
We're listening.
This is Minister Lynette.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, great.
Yes.
Mine is on the pound, Luke 19:11-27. And as I read that, trying to go deeper, I went and got some help, commentary. And what it helped me to understand, was that this was about a ruler that had given three servants the same amount of gold. And what the servants did to with the gold to multiply it or not, or utilize it as he expected them to do. So what I learned from that parable was that the gold represented the gospel. And as one multiplies the gospel 10 times, another 5 times, and then someone that didn't do anything with it. So it was about being faithful to what God has given you and multiplying it, sharing the gospel, service to the gospel. The servant that did nothing with it, just like didn't value it, and he didn't multiply it. And he really didn't fear, because he said, I didn't do anything with it because I feared you. You're a hard taskmaster. You do not plant where, you know, you don't reap where you plant. But the bottom line was he had made a decision that he was going to hide his coin. He wasn't going to use his coin. So he had something very valuable that was given to him that he did not value. So he didn't share it. He didn't try to multiply it. And he did a disservice to God by keeping that which God had given unto him. So my prayer was, Lord, help me to be a faithful servant, utilizing this gospel that you have given me to share, to multiply it, because I value you. That's it.
Amen. Is there another?
Good evening, Overseer. This is Elder Deborah.
Amen.
And I did Luke 6:47-49, and my prayer was, Holy Spirit, teach me to be a wise builder that my house might stand for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Elder Deborah, don't go far. Is Pastor Deloach on the line? And
yes, ma'am. Yes,
amen.
Overseer.
So you gonna...
Praise God.
Is presenting to us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. So, Elder Deborah may want to hear your need for your element of accountability Is Sister Dixon on the line? Genesis Dixon? Okay. Elder Deborah Freeman's in for Pastor Deloach to do the accountability element this evening.
Can I do my minute prayer first?
Absolutely.
And Pastor Deloach, before you do your minute prayer, Overseer and Pastor Deloach, I apologize. I'm not prepared for that. I don't have that in front of me, and
okay.
I did not review it today at all. So if Pastor Deloach can do it, I'll try to pull it up and take a look at it, but I'm not sure what the element is. I'm not in a position right now to kind of be looking at that.
Oh, not a problem.
If you would please excuse me.
Accountability.
I apologize for that.
No problem. Okay, Pastor.
Okay, my minute prayer on this week, I looked at both Mark 7 and 24 and 29 stood out to me, along with Matthew's, and also along with Matthew's 13. And my prayer was, when reading both of those, was that God would he give me wisdom to know difference of my own personal desires and his perfect will and words, that I will put and walk in his practice, but not into what I want by my feelings. And when I'm doing what he says and standing on his word, my prayer is that when those winds do come up and when trials and tribulations attack my family, those around me, the body of Christ, I know that this is just a storm. It's just a storm that is going to blow over, and I am safe. All I need to know is to stand still, stand strong, and stand on the word.
Amen. Excellent. Thank you. You can go right into your presentation for our element of accountability.
Yeah, my element of accountability on this week was the accountability of Christ out of Galatians 6:1-2. And in that scripture, do I need to read the scripture? I don't know if I need to read the scripture, but because I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
All right, because I was trying to read the Matthew one, so I turned from that one. I'm sorry, I apologize. But anyway, but the scripture in Galatians is dealing with being accountable of those with sin, and it's talking about saying how the brother, if someone is caught in a sin, that the one who is spiritual should restore him greatly. That's what that scripture was talking about. And for that, it was meaning to me was if you're the accountability partner or you're accountable for anyone, the person you have, that they do anything that is against that sin, or they fall short, or they do something contrary against the Bible, you have to call them, and you got to be able to confront them, and you can't be afraid to stand up, and you can't worry about, I call it tissue feeling, you know, that they may get in their feelings. You can't be concerned about are you going to lose them or hurt them, because it's best for at that moment that you know that you can bring them in Christ and then seeing them fall away and walk away from the church. But also, when you confront them, him or her, it also tells us in that scripture that we have to also watch ourselves. We have to admonish ourselves. We have to consider ourselves, because there is no one above temptation, no matter what you think or how deep you think you are. Or, you know, even though you're the accountability partner, you can sin. So you have to be you have to watch that you don't fall. You have to live the life and walk the life. And also, being a Christian accountability in that community, being a partner, you not only are encouraging them, but you got to be able to, with your partner, encourage each other. You're encouraging that person to grow. And as you encourage that person to grow, you should also be growing. You should also be growing because they, when they pull on you, they pull on the anointing in you. That should make you dig deeper. That should make you want to go farther. Also, being accountable as you know unto Christ, that person should be able to trust you in both ways. Like you're trusting, dependent on God and Christ, and you're trying to bring them there. They have to be able to trust you, and that trust is something that's earned. And it's not overnight. And the reason they trust you because being an accountability partner, no matter what that person is going through, they should be able to come to you and not be afraid to be judged. Like we can go before God, and because He already knows, Father God already knows. And then when we go, we should not be ashamed to go before the Father to tell Him what's going on. And we open our accountability, who we're accountable for. Should be able to come to the accountability partner. That's the same thing that I can come and tell you my shortcomings. I can tell you my fears and not be judgmental. So the first thing, as I say, you have to build that trust with them, maintain that trust with them. You have to stay in the Word. You have to, you know, you have to stay in the Christ and in the Word of God, and you know, stay in your worship and things that you will not fall short because you do not want to leave that person that you're being accountable for, that you're that accountability partner for. And, yeah, that's it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Overseer, can I read that scripture?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
This is Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And the King James says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then the third verse says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinking himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And if you would just indulge me for the Message version of that, which gives a kind of a slightly different take. It says, "Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived."
Amen.
I don't have any other comment. Pastor took care of all that, but I just wanted to lift the scripture.
Amen. Thank you so much. It means so much when we get a different perspective in scripture of a version. You know, we get a clearer picture. And so we do thank you, Elder, for that. And for that insight and sharing the actual scriptures with us. And so what I want to encourage you to do next week for your moment prayer, as you have been challenged to do by Elder Dr. Ouellette, when you're asked to do your moment prayer, before you do it, you are going to state your people group. So, in other words, Minister Katie, you'll say, "This is Minister Katie. My people group are young people, and my moment prayer for them will be blah, 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 based on the scripture of the parable that you have chosen." So that's how we're going to do it for next week. And I encourage you to also write that down in your journal so that when it comes time at the conference, you're going to call out to your people group, those that you're being sent to. You're going to call out to them. And they will hear in the spirit realm. God does that. You're going to call out to them
what your prayer is. You're going to say who they are. I'm speaking to the homeless. The homeless, hear me, okay, that God is waiting with open arms as the prodigal son returns home, so he will welcome you. So you're going to declare your people group and then your sentence for your moment prayer, I'm sorry. And so we do want to, Bishop is on the line, and see what our bishop may want to share. And any other committee member, if there's something that I am forgetting or missing or have overlooked, please, please, please chime in so that the candidates are blessed even the more. Bishop, Elder Yvette, Pastor Marnet. Yes, sir. Can't hear you. Bishop?
I didn't say anything. I mean, I think you covered everything.
Oh.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. All right, Bishop. Pastor Marlette? All right, all right. Well, then we will close out this evening's session. I do want to encourage all of our accountability partners. There are forms you should have turned in regarding your accountability journey thus far with your candidate. Minister Sharita will send you a reminder and will attach to it the form that you should have submitted on behalf of the experience you have had with your candidate thus far. All right. So, Elder Winslow, can you close us out in prayer?
Yes, I can. Yes. Almighty and everlasting Father, even now, Lord God, as we've heard the word and the vision and the people that you've called us to, impart on us wisdom and the strength. Give us the wisdom, Lord God, to know your word. Give us the heart, Lord God, to seek and get and share our love for you with others. Even now, Lord God, impart upon those who are going through the period of elevation through this process, that you take us through that at the end we may be glorifying you. In the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you all so much. Let us continue our consecration and fulfilling the rest of our requirements for ordination. Thank you so much, and good night.
Always here.
Overseer.
Overseer. Overseer.